So God is good and his mercy endureth forever. I remember there was a story of me going to, this is a real life story. I went to Sri Lanka to preach. When I went to Sri Lanka to preach, it was a crusade. And one of our preaching sessions, they said, you are going to preach. That was my first time on missions. That was my first time going out to preach the gospel. So I was so excited. They said, you are going to preach. And people who know me, they know I don't like dressing formally. So that day, I decided to dress all formal. I was wearing a nice shirt. I sprayed myself. I stayed up all night in prayer. I prayed. And then when it was time to go and preach, they said, Pastor, your car is here. So I sat in the car. As I was going, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to preach. I get there, and guess what? There are only four people in the church. Only four people in the church. And I stood there, and it was just a split second. I was nearly overcome by a sense of depression. But then the word of the Lord came to me strongly and said, preach to them as though you were preaching in a stadium full of people. So I preached. Oh, my word. That I wish I had a video of that sermon. That was my, so far, that has been my best sermon I've preached my whole life, which is not a good testimony. But I preached out of my skin, and I preached on John chapter 4. I preached. And when I finished, the husband and the wife gave themselves to the Lord. They accepted Jesus Christ. 2 years down the lane, I'm going back to Sri Lanka because after mission work, we go for follow-up. I'm going back to do follow-up. And they said, there's a new church in Jaffna. Jaffna is a city in Sri Lanka. So you need to go and visit them because they said they want to see you. I'm like, we've never been to Jaffna because it's very close to the very hostile place. So everybody is scared to go there. So they said, you have to go there because the pastor and the wife want to see you. And I said, why? I've not done anything to anybody. Why do they want to see me? So I decided to go. I went there. Lo and behold, when I went there, those two people that gave themselves to Christ, these two people had become pastor and pastor's wife. And their congregation was close to 200 people. And I'm like, wow. And you remember the story of the woman at the well? How Jesus speaks to one woman at the well, and the woman runs into the town and tells the whole town. I believe God is not really a respecter of numbers. I believe God is a respecter of the heart, and it's a respecter of purpose. Today we might be few. Today it might look as though, nobody, Mayoren, Handoren, Bulai, is your Chinese okay? Not okay? Same here, my Chinese not good. But it could be that you'll be thinking, not so many people coming to church today and you are feeling down. But mind you, when God has a word for you, when God has a plan for you, it doesn't matter how many people are in church. When God looks at you, he sees you, Janisha. And that's all that matters to him. So today I want to encourage you, set your mind on the Lord and let the Lord give you a word that will spark you to make impact in many lives. Amen. So today, our theme is on church growth. Someone say church growth. How many of you enjoyed the sermon last Sunday by Brother Sergio? It was a powerful sermon. I listened to the audio. I bring you greetings from the Harbin International Christian Fellowship. Harbin International Christian Fellowship. I was worshiping with them last Sunday. And it's amazing. When I was leaving Xiamen, Xiamen was 32 degrees. When I got to Harbin, Harbin was 9 degrees. 9 degrees. I was so shocked. So I told them, unless the Lord tells me to come back here again, I might not come back here again because I'm not so much a fan of the cold weather. So in the light of church growth, Brother Sergio began, and we are going to continue today. And our key scripture is from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. You guys read like you are hungry. Are you hungry? Nimenchelama? Lauren, have you eaten? you're hungry. Lori said, no. So let's read it again. Read it as though you have eaten something. Read it as though, even if you have not eaten, pretend like you've eaten beggar this morning. 1, 2, 3, go. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, the fellowship. Then they went on to the breaking of bread and prayers. Father, we thank you for today. Let your name be glorified, even as we sit at your feet. Father, speak to us, convict us, and let your grace abound unto us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So the key scripture is taken from Acts chapter 2, from verse 42. But the whole paragraph is Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. And I'm going to read it for us. You can follow in your Bible. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. So this is a capture of the early church. The early church, the writer of the book of Acts, which is believed to be Brother Luke, in the light of the early church, was telling us what they were doing. After the Holy Spirit had come mightily upon them and 3,000 people had been saved, this was what they were doing. After they were saved, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And all came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. So in the place after they had been born again, they came to a place of togetherness. And they had a similar mind. They had same mind. They were able to do things together. But what were they doing together? They were studying the word of God. They were giving themselves unto eating. It is important to eat together. It is important to eat together. It is my heart desire that by the end of this sermon, you will be willing to invite someone from church into your home to have lunch with you. It is my heart desire that after this sermon, after Sunday service, you would say, can we go for lunch together? Because one critical aspect of growing together as a family is eating together. In Ghana, growing up, we used to eat in one big bowl. A very big bowl. So mom and dad have their bowl and all the siblings have, we eat in one big bowl. What I didn't realize was, I didn't know that was the beginning of World War III. Eating together in that bowl. Because the very moment you start eating, we are all waiting for my big brother, the firstborn, to take the meat. As soon as he takes one meat, and you are not fast enough to take the meat, you are just going to eat rice. So eventually we were doing that. And because I was the last one, I was always on the losing end. But at a point, I realized that my elder brother, anytime he takes the meat, he takes two, the firstborn. He takes two, one for himself and one for me, because he knows I wasn't going to reach. And I realized that eating together is a way of thinking about other people. In modern times, you may not sit and eat from one bowl, but I encourage you, sit at the dining table and eat together. And as you are eating together, it's a good time to strike a good conversation. It's a good time to ask people how they are doing. Do you remember Jesus asking Peter if he loved him? They said, and in the coolness of the night, after they had eaten, Jesus asked Peter, Peter, lovest thou me? So it's very, very important that at the table, we have this understanding of family. And I would really encourage you, although some of us may be introverts, let's take the opportunity to sit at the table and eat together. And even as we are eating together, let's care for one another. And it goes on to say, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. The all things meant principles and values. As believers, we ought to share similar principles and values. What are these principles and values? These principles and values are the principles of godliness, are the principles of holiness, are the principles of peace, are the principles of love. We must share similar values and principles. Amen. As a family, as husband and wife, one of the principles you must learn how to share is the principles of forgiveness and love. You must learn how to forgive. You must learn how to love. I was preaching to Thai UN Fellowship on, Teresa, when was it? When was the session? Was it Thursday or Friday? It was Friday. I was preaching to Thai UN Fellowship on Friday. And it was online. And we're talking about how godly is your relationship. How godly is your relationship? And one of the things we establish about a godly relationship is that every godly relationship is filled with the love of God. And the love of God, according to 1 Corinthians, forgives. It doesn't boast. It is kind. The love of God is not arrogant. It is not rude. So it's very, very important. As Christians, we must share similar values. And these values are the values of Christ. And going on, he says, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So they cared for one another. They cared for one another. If someone had a need, they cared for the person. If someone had a problem, they cared for the person. It was intentional. They didn't say that each for himself, God for us all. They didn't say that you must learn how to manage your things on your own. But they understood the place of a community of shared interest. Amen. So he goes on to say, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So we see that beyond the place of the establishment of the early church, they had values that they upheld. And these values were values of love, values of the word of God, values of prayer, values of being like-minded. And as they walked in these values, the Lord added to their number. Today we are talking about church growth, and we are looking at how the Lord adds to our number. It says, it's said clearly that, and day by day, attending the temple together, day by day, they attended the temple together. Day by day, they fellowship together. Now, not many of us come to church every Sunday. But they did it day by day. But we have it just once every week. So one of the important places of church growth is church attendance. And Hebrews is very clear on that. It says, do not neglect meeting together, even as the day of the Lord approaches. Even as some of you are in the habit of doing. Turn to someone, tell the person, go to church. Tell the person sitting beside you, go to church. If you are sitting alone, hit your chest and say, I will go to church. It is very, very important. Don't go to church only when you feel like it. So you wake up in the morning, I cannot go to church today. No. Make it a habit to be consistent. Consistency is very important. Sometimes we have other programs with church. Sometimes we have other events with church. But I always encourage you, think. Which one is more important? Matthew 6:33, it says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Someone will say, but what if I'm a doctor and I have to go to the hospital? Lives are at risk. The idea is not to make you a church junkie, that you'll be coming to church. You don't even know why you are coming to church. The idea is to let you know that it's important for you to fellowship. Other important things may arise, but have it at the back of your head that coming to church is not just about sitting down or coming to church in your nicest dress. In Ghana, one of the reasons why people go to church is when they have a new dress. So if they have a new shoe, if they have a new shirt, you see them. And when they come to church, they sit in front, like the way my brother from Colombia. I'm not saying you have a new shirt. Your name? Pablo. 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 So it's very, very important for us to understand the place of consistent fellowship. Consistent fellowship. And he says, day by day they met. And even as they met, it says they broke bread together in their homes. Let your home be a place of worship. Let your home be a place of fellowship. Now we don't know whom to trust. But the godliness and the fear of God in us must be able to cause us to open our homes to people to come and fellowship with us. I remember coming to China back in 2015, and I was invited to, one of our elders invited me to their house to go and eat. And in Ghana, when you are invited to someone's house to go and eat, normally, you don't eat before you come because they are really going to feed you. They are really going to feed you. So I remember I was going with a friend of mine who is also Ghanaian. And when we were going, we said, oh, no, 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 no. Today we are not going to eat. So we didn't eat in the morning and we didn't eat in the afternoon so that we would have a huge capacity so that we can go and eat all their food. So what we did was we went there to go and eat. And when we went there, they started bringing the food. And they were bringing carrot, cucumber, lettuce, tofu, and they brought potatoes. Then my friend looked at me and said, where is the rice? And we realized that there was no rice. Then they brought water. It looked like water. Then they said, oh, drink some of the soup. And I said, hey! Because in Ghana, when we say soup, the soup is very thick. You can actually drink soup and not eat the whole day. So, and we were like, glory to God. But that was a lesson well learned. And we began to appreciate the Chinese culture. We began to appreciate because in the beauty of fellowshipping together, we began to know each other. And I and that elder became the best of friends because he opened his house unto me. And he helped me. When my daughter Jadida was born, so the reality of opening your doors to people, it could be risky in a modern age, but it's an opportunity to fellowship together. And that is what God is telling us to do. That if we want to grow as a church, we need to open our doors. We need to open the doors of the church. We need to open the doors of our homes. We need to be friendly. We need to be welcoming. Amen. Why is it important? And I want us to read the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, 14 to 13. The parable of the talent. How many of you know the parable of the talents? So the parable of the talents is this way. A property owner, a master, a boss is going on a far journey. And then he calls his servants and give all of them talents. To one of them, he gives one, to another two, to another three, five. And as he gives them all these talents, he tells them to take care of it, and then he goes on a journey. And as he goes on this journey, some of these servants work with the talents, and they are able to make profit of the talent. And some of the servants are so afraid, they go and they go and dig. They go and dig a hole and put the talent in there. Eventually, the master returns. When the master returns, he calls all the servants and says, come and render accounts. And even as he calls the servants, they come. The person who got a five gives it and he says, yes, I've been able to multiply. And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. It goes on, it goes on. Everybody is increasing their talent. Then one of the servants comes and says, I have known you to be a wicked man. So I was afraid to use what you gave me. So I went and I hid it. Here is what you have. And mind you, he did not make a loss. He just maintained what was given to him. But the master was so furious. And the master said, you are going to be cast into the place of outer darkness. One thing we need to understand is this. Whatever we have received from the Lord is expecting us to cause it to increase. Whatever you have received from the Lord is a gift, and you are a steward of it. Your husband is a gift to you. Your wife is a gift to you. Your schooling is a gift to you. And God wants you to increase. You will account for that which God has given you. The church is a gift to us. God has given us a gift, and he has called us to be stewards. And in being stewards, we are going to account for it. So how are you treating your husband? How are you treating your mother? How are you treating your father? Remember this, you are going to account for everything you have received. Your finances, how do you handle your finances? Are you going to be able to give a godly account? Increase is important. Increase is important to the Lord. How do you handle your children? The children you have, Sister Jane, Dia is a gift from the Lord to you. Brother Josh, and how you are going to let Dia grow in the Lord, you are going to answer to the Lord. You stand before the Lord and the Lord will ask you, Sister Wezi, I blessed you with a wonderful family. How did you handle that family? Were you a blessing to your family? Or were you the problem maker in the family? The Lord is interested in increase. And he wants us to increase everything he gives to us, including the church. Including the church. So in the light of that, I summarize the parable this way. The parable of talents presents a reality of how the Lord will judge us for all the things he has given us. He will judge us for the faithfulness we show at what he has entrusted into your care. The Lord will judge you. The Lord will judge you for all that he has entrusted into your care. The Lord will judge you. He would ask you, what did you do with this talent? What did you do with your wife? Did you make your wife better? Did you make your children better? The Christian faith I gave you, did you increase your Christian faith? Or did you not increase your Christian faith? So in the light of that, knowing that God is interested in increase, we want to look at the increase of the church. The increase of the church. Church growth. Someone say church growth. Amazing. So there are two frontiers of church growth. There are two frontiers of church growth. The first frontier of church growth is your individual life. And I read from 1 Corinthians 3:16. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. You guys are very hungry. You are very hungry. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. He says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? You are the church. You are the church. You are the church. And God wants to see you grow in him. You are the church. And God wants to see you grow in him. And we have the second frontier of the church, which is the corporate church. Let's read together. Hebrews chapter 10, 25. Read as though you have eaten jollof rice. 1, 2, 3, go. It says, we should continue meeting together. When we meet together, we form the assembly, we form the congregation, we form the church. So there are dimensions of the church. The church is first the individual being, and then the congregant of believers. And on all fronts, God wants us to increase. God wants us to increase. So I wrote in summary, the church is not just the gathering of believers in the place of worship. So this is the church, but it's not only this. But most importantly, the believer who becomes a living temple of the Spirit of God. Most importantly, the believer who has become a living temple of the Spirit of God. The growth of both is important to God. So the growth of the church here is important to God, and the growth of our personal lives is important to God. So now let's go deeper. Church growth. Church on an individual scale. The individual church. How can we grow on our own? What is the first point? Studying of scriptures. If you want to grow, study the scriptures. How many of you attended Sunday school when you were young? Ah, Sister Jane attended Sunday school. Amazing. And I'm sure you remember the song. Brother Vincent, do you remember the song? If you attend Sunday school, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. How many of you remember that song? It says, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Being a Christian and growing in your faith is not just about sitting in church on Sundays. Christian growth is about reading your Bible and praying every day. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. It is not normal for a believer to go 2 days, 3 days without reading their Bible. It is not good. It is not normal. That is the beginning of backsliding. The very moment the word of God is not in you, you begin to backslide. So I put a scripture there, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. It didn't say, let Netflix dwell in you richly. It didn't say, let Korean series dwell in you richly. It didn't say, let Taobao dwell in you richly. What did it say? Ah, you guys are not responding. It means what I'm saying is touching your heart. Huh? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Give yourself unto the study of God's word. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Now we have audio Bibles. When you go to the bathroom, instead of going on your phone and going to be on Instagram, going to be on WeChat Moment for 5 hours, why don't you go with your Bible? Amen. So the first point of independent growth is study of God's word. What's the second one? Someone say prayer. Make a habit of praying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. It says, pray without, pray. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Does it mean to lock yourself in the room and not go out? No. Praying without ceasing means be conscious of the presence of the Lord. Be conscious of God's presence. And be conscious of what God is speaking to you. Let your mind remain on the Lord. Be conscious of Him and speak to the Lord through the day. Sometimes I'm cooking, and when the food is not going well, I say, Father, help me. Sometimes I'm in class, and when I don't understand what is happening in class, I say, Father, touch my mind. Sometimes I'm in the office, and when things are going haywire, I say, Father, help me. Speak to the Lord. Be aware of the presence of the Lord. And sometimes the Lord will be laying someone on your heart to pray for the person. Sometimes the Lord will be laying some members of your family on your heart. Don't think it's just for fun. Sometimes the Lord will give you a dream. Your dreams are important. And if you are here and you forget about your dreams, remind me to pray for you after church. Because one way the Lord speaks to us is through our dreams. Amen. Romans 12, 1 to 2, worship. One way of independent growth is worship. We must give ourselves unto worship. Worship in songs, lifting up holy hands, and worship in obedience. So Romans chapter 12 verse 1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, to give yourselves as living sacrifices unto the Lord, which is your reasonable act of service. Which is your reasonable act to give your life unto the Lord, submitting your will to his will. Obedience. You will grow by obedience. And meditation, Joshua 1 verse 8. The word is very clear. It says, the law of the Lord do I meditate on day and night. What is meditation? Let your mind be filled with the word of God. Set your mind on scripture. Set your mind on scripture. Meditate on the word of God. Set your mind on scripture. Set your mind on scripture. Set your mind on scripture. And the reason why we are not able to do what God wants us to do is because our mind is filled with other things. What is your mind filled on? What is your mind focused on? Is your mind focused on the word of God? Even as you are in church today, what is your mind on? Is your mind on the sermon? Even as you are in church today, what is? Because we have people who come to church and they are not in church. They are on their phones and they'll be on other dangerous places. They'll be in church, but their mind is not in church. They are thinking to finish church and then go home and go and eat lasagna. They are in church, but their mind is not in church. So where is your mind? Where is your mind? If you really want to grow in the Lord, learn to focus your mind on the things of God. Amen. Learn to focus your mind on the things of God. Learn to say no to distractions. Learn to say no to distractions and focus your mind on the things of God. Let's read 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. 1, 2, 3, go. You guys are hungry. You guys are very hungry. After church, there's fellowship table. There's going to be bread and biscuits. So make sure you go and take some before you go home. We don't want to see anybody falling down as you are walking home. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So put away all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy and envy, all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So if indeed you are born again, if indeed you are born again, then your desire should be to grow in the Lord. And how do you grow? The sincere milk of God. Drink the, what is the milk? The word of God. I like the way Dia is here. Dia drinks milk, right? How many bottles does she drink a day? You can't remember, but is it more than three? Your brother James, how many bottles of food does your son drink a day? Like two glasses. We need food to grow. Some of you don't feed your spirit. The only time you feed your spirit is Sunday. You only eat and feed your spirit on Sundays, but build a habit of Bible studies. Build the habit of personal devotions. I know what I'm saying is hard, but I'm not here to say things that will make you comfortable. I know you are feeling very uncomfortable because it's like Pastor Perry is saying exactly what I'm feeling. Yes, because I need to say them so that you will grow. I am not here to give you, to tickle you, and make you be happy. No, I'm here because the Lord has made me a shepherd over your soul. The Lord has made me a shepherd over your soul, and I need to ensure that you are growing in the Lord. Can I hear an amen? So how does the church grow? How does the church grow? The church grows as highlighted in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Apostles' teachings. You see that in that list, church growth begins when you start teaching the word of God. And that is what I'm doing. I'm going to teach the word of God. Even if it makes you uncomfortable, I'm going to teach the word of God. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will work his working in you so that you can change and grow more. So the first point of growing as a church is that the word of God be preached. And from Pastor Gabe to this time, One thing XICF has decided to do is to make sure that the word of God is preached always. We make sure we focus on God's word. We are not here to preach traditions. We are not here to preach to prosperity gospels. We are not here to preach legalism. We are here to preach grace and ensure that people grow in the grace of the Lord through obedience and repentance. So the first point to ensure growth in the church is by preaching the word of God. The second point is through fellowship. How many of you saw the beach outing? How many of you will come for the beach outing? Eh? Yes, I can see hands. Yes. Invite Brother Nick. You have to be here because we are going to do a 100-meter race for the husbands. And it looks like you are the only one I can run faster than. So you have to come so that I can be. Please make sure you come, because in the fellowship, that is how we grow. We are going to have a wonderful beach time. And I think the students are going to go for water rafting again. And in December, we are going to have a Christmas lunch. And in November, we are going to have a picnic retreat. We are going to have a retreat time. So fellowship, it's important to come together. Don't say, I am shy. I am an introvert. I don't like being with people. Yes, so if you are going to come, you can scan. Fellowship is important. And in fellowship, what happens? We talk to one another. We encourage one another. We bless one another. Next Sunday, we are having our Welcome Sunday. Invite someone to church. Invite someone to church and let's grow together. The third point, breaking bread together. Breaking bread together. Breaking bread together. It's very important that we eat together. Next Sunday, we're having potluck. Bring amazing food. If you can't cook, order. Sister Amela, would you bring some Indian food? You don't know yet. Bring some food. Let's eat together. I'm going to cook, and I pray you like it. Why are you laughing? I'm going to cook, and I pray you like it. Brother Josh is an exquisite. Brother Josh, say hello. Yeah, he's an amazing cook. He's also from India. An amazing cook. Amazing. I went to visit him, and he prepared chicken, fried chicken. So the next Sunday, I was asking him, are you home? Because I wanted to visit him again. Not because I wanted to see his face, but because of the chicken. No, but it's amazing when we fellowship together and we break bread together. Be encouraged to break bread together. Be encouraged to go on lunch. Be encouraged to talk to people. You may be surprised what someone is going through in the church. But until you ask the person how you are doing, you may not know what the person is going through. We have seen churches where people are suffering from depression. People, marriages are breaking, but nobody knows because nobody talks to them. Amen. And what is the last one? Prayer. Pray. 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 In December, we are going to have our 6 days of ending the year prayer. We are going to have 7 days of ending the year prayers. We are going to begin on a Sunday. And we are going to end on a Sunday. Seven days of prayer. 7 days of prayer. I encourage you, join in and let's pray together. Let's read Romans chapter 10, 14 to 15. 1, 2, 3, go. One critical part of church growth is sharing the good news. Someone say good news. What is this good news? This good news is that Jesus came to die for our sins. And when we repent, when we genuinely repent and surrender our lives to Him, His finished work speaks for us. It is very important for us to know that we as believers ought to share the word. We ought to share the word. How do we share the word? The first place of sharing the word is with your life. How do you live? How do you live? And the second place is with your mouth. Open your mouth and tell someone about Jesus. Sometimes you may not be the one to tell the person about Jesus, but you are the one to invite the person to church. I like Brother Justin. Brother Justin has been playing football with some people every Wednesday and Sunday. So I realized one Sunday he brought so many guys and they looked very thick, tall, and very fit. And he said, these are my friends. I play football with them. And he brought them to church. Bring your classmates to church. Bring your colleagues to church. In church, they might hear the message of salvation. Amen. Challenges to church growth. Challenges to church growth. On the individual scale, the first and foremost challenge is that we are too busy. We are too busy. We don't make time for the word of God. We are too busy. What you Nabian, what you Jigga, was what Jigga? We are doing Jigga, don't she? We are doing Shama, 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 Shama. Sometimes we are too busy. Learn to rest in the Lord and learn to make time for the Lord. If you are sitting beside someone, tell the person, don't be too busy. If you are sitting alone, hit your chest and say, I will not be too busy. Don't be too busy for your personal devotion. Don't be too busy to pray together as a couple. I love it when I pray with my wife, especially when she puts her head on my chest and we are praying together. I love it so much. Pray together with your wife. Pray together with your children. Pray together and build a life of prayer. Lack of God's word. One of the reasons why we don't grow is we lack God's word. God's word is not abiding in us, so we are not growing. We are not growing because we don't eat. We don't feed on God's word. The only time we read God's word is on Sundays. We need to feed on God's word. The third point, practice of sin. What is the sin which you are continuously practicing that nobody knows about? Nobody knows about, and that sin is weighing you down. What is that addiction? That addiction that is pulling you away from the Lord. What is that practice of sin? The Bible is still clear. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Let us lay every weight that easily besets us aside so that we can run the race, so that we can grow. Now, the corporate church, how can we grow as a church? And what are the challenges? We need to preach the word of God. As a church, we need to preach the word of God. Even if it makes you uncomfortable, we need to preach the word of God. Even if people are like, it is cringe, we will still preach the word of God. It doesn't matter how you look at me when I'm preaching, when I'm encouraging you to read your Bible. We will still preach. When I was speaking about focusing in the church, when you come to church focusing, I saw people were getting a bit jittery. It means the word of God is working. And I encourage you, when you come, put your phone aside. The church is not a place now that you are coming to look on your phone. You had Monday to Saturday. And just these 3 hours, focus on the Lord. Put your phone aside and say, Father, I am here for you. Speak your word to me. Amen. Poor practice of God's word. Some of us, we hear God's word, but we will not do it. Like just now that I've said, focus on God's word. You have heard God's word, but for you to do it, la 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 la, you will not do it. Sometimes the Lord will find ways of telling you his word. Sometimes you are on the social media that is distracting you, and you will see, pray, pray. You all of a sudden you see a video, pray. But you just see it, good message. Then you continue going. Do not disobey God's word. What did I say? Do not disobey God's word. Practice God's word. And the third point, lack of boldness. The reason why the church might not be growing is lack of boldness. People are shy. People are shy to speak about Jesus to their friends. People are shy to speak about Jesus to their colleagues. People are shy to speak Jesus to their friends. People are shy to speak Jesus to their colleagues because if they speak about Jesus, it makes them look as though they are not part of the elite. But what did Jesus say? If you do not honor me before men, I will not honor you before my Father. If you are shy of me today, I will be shy of you before my Father. And mind you, it will be a very disastrous feeling for you to get to the Father and Jesus will say, I don't know you because you did not proclaim his glory. You did not proclaim him to your friends. I encourage you, speak about Jesus. If you can't speak about it, use your moment. Use your status. I like Sister Teresa so much. Sister Teresa has been sharing amazing things on her status. There was this time I was very down and she shared something about joy. And as soon as I finished reading it, I started dancing. I started dancing. I was dancing because I was so, let your platform, let your life be a means of sharing the gospel. Amen. Let's read the scripture. Ready, steady, go. So it is appointed for a man to die once. How many of you have heard that term? YOLO. Is that what they call it? YOLO. You only live once. And they use that as an opportunity to do disgusting things and disgraceful things. Because you only live once, do whatever you want. But I have come with another perspective. You only live once after that judgment. So live right. You only live once and after that you face your Father. So make sure you are growing. Make sure you are a good steward of your life, of your family. Make sure you are a good steward of your children. Make sure you are a good steward of your husband. Make sure you are a good steward of the church. Judgment is real. Judgment day will come. As it stands now, Jesus is holding back the Father. He has opened his arms and he's holding back the Father. He says, Father, give them more time. Give them more time. But the time is coming. He will give way. And the wrath of the Father will come upon creation. And those who are not in Christ will be found wanting. Let's stand to our feet even as we pray. Acts chapter 19, verse 20. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily in Ephesus. We want to pray, Father, let your word increase in me. The word you have heard today, pray that the Lord will cause it to grow in you. Pray that the Lord will cause you to live by that word. Pray that the Lord will cause you to grow in his word. You know yourself. You know if you are living by the word. You know if you are living godly lives. You know if you are growing. You know if you are growing or if you are not growing. You know if you prioritize coming to church or not. You know if you prioritize going to small groups. Pray and tell the Lord, Father, let your word abound in me. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We pray that your glory will be made manifest in our lives. And we pray that we will increase in your word. We pray that we will increase in your word. We pray that we will walk in your will. We will be obedient to you. And we pray that we will be bold to share your gospel. We will be bold to speak about Jesus. We commit the welcome service into your hands. Father, draw people to your fellowship. Draw people to your fellowship. Be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Shall I receive the benediction? May the Lord keep you. And may the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. May the word you have heard today resound in your spirit. Even as you leave the church, may the Lord abide with you, reminding you of the words of today, so that you may grow in him. May the Lord give you peace, and may the Lord give you understanding. May any situation which is giving you sleepless nights, may the hand of the Lord be lifted over that situation. May any problem which is giving you sleepless nights, may the hand of the Lord be lifted over that problem. And above all, may the Lord open a mighty door for you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.